There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, episode 5 of the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show. As always, Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco. We're coming off a big NFL weekend, Tony.
I'm so excited because a lot of people probably watched the football games this weekend and don't know what to make of it. So I'm excited to just teach everybody and kind of show them what really happened in the NFL this weekend.
We're going to do that for you. We're going to clear it all up, all your questions. Now, remember, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, all those things. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Look for the Fusco Show. Now, Tony, we got a big show today, and we got a guest.
He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, but when we did our research, I kind of found something out. I want to push him a little bit on this.
Yes, you did.
So it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation.
Well, we're going to put him on the spot. Fox Sports, you've seen him there. Mark Schlereth. Yep. Anyway, we got a lot to get to, so let's get into it. It's time for Week 1 takeaways.
Week 1 takeaways. Eagles at Washington football team.
All right. Look, now I know a lot of people, they're coming out, they're saying, Carson Wentz, he blew the game. That's bullshit. The offensive line was atrocious. I mean, Wentz was taking more hits than a line judge at a Novak Djokovic match. It was ridiculous. The offensive line is clearly to blame here. Tony, your thoughts?
It's like this. If you're driving down a highway and a car jumps over the median and hits you, is it your fault? No, it's the median's fault. The median needs to do its job, and the offensive line needs to do its job. I don't know how you can blame Carson Wentz for getting sacked 25 times in a game. That's not his fault.
Well said, Tony. And you know, everyone's making a big deal. Oh, now Washington's suddenly better than the Eagles. Come on. We all know one game doesn't matter. And besides, the Eagles won half the game. They won the first half, 17 up. Right? They were done. They know. They thought, oh, this is over. We won. And then, you know, they just kind of took their foot off the pedal. But to call that a win for Washington, no, it's more like a tie.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And there's one thing. We didn't want to bring it up, but, you know, we kind of noticed something. You know, Doug Peterson did not look himself.
Definitely.
And when you think about it, he's still getting over coronavirus. You know, the doctors, they said he's asymptomatic. But if you look at him, and Tony, we looked at him, right? We slowed it down.
Yep.
You know, he looked slow,
he didn't
tired.
Look
he looked contagious.
You know,
and,
listen, I went to the CDC website And it says symptoms of COVID, high fever, confusion. I mean, you know, when you're confused, that leads to bad play calling. And you saw him sweating. We both saw him sweating, which shows he probably still has a little bit of fever. He's not himself. Dougie P wasn't himself. No, it was obvious. No.
So we just got to throw that one out. Doesn't count. All right. But now let's get to our next game.
Bucks at Saints.
Now, Tony, we totally called this one. Nobody else did. We were on it from the get-go. Nope. Brady looked horrible. He looked old. And I got to say, it's over. I mean, this was the first game. This was his chance to set the tone, right? That's what the first game is. It's the tone setter.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, one game, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah? Well, the Super Bowl's one game. You seem to think that counts. So, look, I got to say, I think it's a disaster in Tampa. Close the book, right, Tony?
Yeah, listen, I looked it up, and teams that lose in week one go on to miss the playoffs 98.3% of the time. So, when people say it's just one game and it doesn't matter, check the stats because it does matter. And not to say, also, honestly, we talked about this, Paulie. If I'm Tampa Bay, I'm taking a hard look at Josh Rosen this week. You know, it's very clear to me, Josh Rosen plays very good in the temperate climate of Florida because he looked good in California. You know, he looked good in the preseason in Arizona. I might start Josh Rosen. You know, if he's available on your waiver wires for fantasy, you might want to pick him up this week.
It's an excellent point.
There you go.
All right, let's move to the final game we're going to review here.
Bears at Lions.
All right. Well, you all know we said the Bears should have started Nick Foles instead of Mitch Trubisky. And I got to say, we were right, Tony.
You know, people are going to say, oh, but Paulie and Tony, what are you guys talking about? The Bears ended up winning the game.
No.
That's why you listen to us. Because the Bears didn't win that game. The Lions lost that game. Trubisky was an absolute disaster.
Tony, who was on the field when the game was decided? Was it Mitch Trubisky?
Nope.
No. It was Stafford and that bum.
That running back that was wide open and dropped the game-winning touchdown. He didn't drop it because he can't catch. He dropped it because he couldn't believe that the Bears didn't start Nick Foles. He was like, I can't believe we're not losing by 60 right now. And he dropped the ball. So that's what we mean when we're going to clear things up.
They're rushing to judgment. They see a score and they think that's the whole story. No, people.
Exactly.
No. All right. Well, I see he's on the line, so let's get him on here. It's time to bring our guest in on the Fusco Satellite Network.
Fusco Satellite Network.
All right, let's bring in our guest. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion with Washington and Denver. He's also an analyst you've seen on ESPN and FS1. Let's get him on here. Mark Schlereth, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be on the show with you guys.
Yeah, now, before we get into the whole NFL, you got one of the weirdest nicknames I've ever heard, Stink. You get that, they call you Stink because you shit your pants or something? What happened there?
Well, no, it actually comes from I grew up in Alaska. My sister taught an Eskimo village called Akiachuk, Alaska, on the Kuskokwim River. And they used to cut off the heads of salmon, bury them in the dirt, dig them up and eat them rotten. And so that's how I got the nickname Stink, actually after the stink head. And pretty much every game I used to also piss in my pants. And so the name just kind of stuck that way. So yeah, I did urinate my pants pretty much every game.
So what you're saying is I'm half right. They're right.
Yeah. Essentially you're close. Yes.
It's coming out of a hole anyway. So that counts. Yeah. All right. Now look, let's get into what happened this weekend. Now, you played offensive line. You know this. You watched that Eagles game. Don't you agree that, people are wrong for blaming Carson Wentz, that the blame should 100% be on the offensive line who caused the Eagles to lose, right?
I would point more to coaching. I mean, I look at that from a standpoint of if you can't protect your quarterback, especially when you know you've got young players or backup players or players that don't have experience, you've got to do things to protect those guys, especially against an outstanding defensive line. So you've got to be able to run the ball more consistently. You've got to be able to set up your play action. You've got to throw screens and bubble screens. You've got to do things to essentially take pressure off the quarterback. So, you know, a lot of what happens to football teams is you see a bad performance by an offensive line and you think it's 100% the offensive line's fault. Sometimes the quarterback holds the ball. Sometimes receivers aren't getting open. And sometimes coaches just call really bad games. So there's a combination of things. There's a little bit of blame to go around for everybody.
Yeah, but Mark, if you're driving down the highway and a car jumps over the median and hits your car, you know, it's not the coach's fault. It's the median's fault. You got to blame the median for not doing its job. And in this case, the median is the offensive line. Doesn't that make sense, Mark?
No, that it doesn't make sense. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on. I mean, it just isn't as easy as, hey, our offensive line sucks and their defensive line is really good. I mean, it just, there's a lot of other things that go in to actually protecting a quarterback.
There you go. As we've been trying to say, you yep. can't blame Carson Wentz at all for what happened. Now, let's just move to the other side of the ball there. Now, you know, Washington, yeah, they won one game. You know, it was kind of a tie, really, as we've discussed. They haven't won a Super Bowl since, you know, who knows when, since when you were there, right? That was 40 years ago, whatever it is now. You know, do they ever call you, Washington, and say, hey, look, we're such a shit organization. When you were here, we weren't so shitty. Can you help come back and, you know, figure out why we're so shitty?
No, they have not. They have not made that call. I mean, here's the thing. I agree with you. They have just, I mean, ever since Daniel Snyder bought that team, they are absolute horseshit. I mean, they've been horrible. I mean, to the point where they don't even have a name anymore. They're just called the Washington Football Team. And the sad thing is you guys still lost to their asses. They don't have a nickname, and you couldn't beat them.
No. We've explained it. We were up 17-0. We kind of took our foot off the gas. But if you look at it, that we won a half, they won a half. So you
it's
know,
a push.
It's a push.
It's a push.
Wait, the half they won, they scored more points, though. So it's not a push.
Yeah, but that was only because the game was moving a little slower at that time, so they had a little more time. You know, Carson Wentz was so quick out of the gun in that. It was like time actually sped up in the first half, you know?
I see. Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting. There's still only so much time. You know, you can't cheat the clock. I mean, there's only so much.
No, but yeah. Plus we also predicted before the season that the Eagles would probably go 15-1. Then they would rest the starters at the end of the season, you know, after going 15-0, and they'd probably lose to Washington. So our prediction's still correct. We just got it a little backwards that the Eagles will probably go on a run. You must agree that the Eagles will right the ship and go 15-1, correct?
I don't know about 15-1, but I do think the Eagles will right the ship. I do think they'll play, you know, pretty good football. I mean, I look at that whole division, and I think the first team to 9 wins in that division probably wins that division, maybe 10. But I think the first team to 9 probably locks that thing up.
You're right, and we'll get there in week 10. So that's when we'll lock it up.
Yep.
All right. Now, look, you know, we did a little research on you. You retired when you were 35 years old. And, you know, Tony and I, we think that is the proper age to retire. You know, you look at these players, Mark, they're playing so old now. Tom Brady, he's like 48, 49, they're playing too long these days. Don't you think these guys are just embarrassing themselves hanging on to their careers?
And I don't know. I think it's awesome. I mean, it is, you know, you get to live out a childhood dream. And if you can do it till you're 45, God bless you. That is great. Obviously, the game has changed a little bit. You don't beat each other up as much as you used to back in the day. And so, you know, longevity is better, but I think it's great to go out there and compete. If you still love to compete and you still love to train and put it out there, then I think that's awesome. Play as long as you possibly can.
But even if Tom Brady, as we saw this past Sunday, is turning into Matt Schaub, except not as effective, don't you think that if he continues to go down the Matt Schaub road, he should maybe get benched in favor of Josh Rosen?
No, I mean, did you see Josh Rosen? Like, he looked like the most disinterested person on the planet. Like, I cannot believe I've got to sit in the stands. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, some equation I should be studying back at home with my, you know, chemistry book. I don't know. I just looked, it looked bad to me. Tom Brady will be fine. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be fine. I think they'll win a lot of games. You know, I'm not ready to write the obit on Tom Brady like most people. Most people just hate Tom Brady because of all the winning they did, except, of course, when they played Philly in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go. Yeah.
So you guys shouldn't hate Tom Brady. You guys should actually like Tom Brady.
Why?
No, who said we? You know, I don't hate. Hate is a very strong word. You know, we don't like to use hate, you know. But you listen, Tom Brady, let's be honest. You can't call him the GOAT because he lost to the real GOAT, Nick Foles. So, you know, all the GOAT nonsense. We know who the GOAT is. He's in Chicago right now just waiting to save that franchise. His name is Nick Foles.
You know, and that brings us to a – thank you, Tony, for bringing that up because we have a very serious topic to discuss with you, Mark, here. Aren't you just floored by the disrespect being shown to Super Bowl hero, American hero, Nick Foles? Letting that joke of a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, start when he should be the starter?
I think, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Foles ends up being a starter at some time. Nick Foles, hey, listen, he was great for you guys off the bench. I mean, that's been the role that he has really thrived in. He really hasn't thrived when he's gotten the chance to be a starter. So maybe that's the best role for him. Come in, be the underdog guy, rally the troops around him, and win that way. He certainly had his struggles, but I'm not going to hold him accountable for having struggles in Jacksonville because pretty much everybody, their brother's uncle, has had struggles in Jacksonville.
Yeah. You know, it's true. It's true. You know, but here's the thing. He was a backup, but that doesn't mean, you know, he was bad or anything. I mean, Think about it. Imagine if the Broncos teams that you were on, Mark, had Nick Foles instead of John Elway. You guys might have won like 6 Super Bowls in a row.
I never actually thought about that. But the only problem with that, Nick Foles would have been 12 at that time.
Still would have been spinning the ball.
Yeah,
the best.
But now look, let's go. We got one more thing before we go. Now, Tony did his research here.
Yep, I did.
And he looked up something. Tony, tell Mark what you found.
Now, Mark, you were a member of what was called the Hogs, the offensive line with Washington in the 1991 season when they won the Super Bowl. Now, I wanted to look at Washington's record. They went 14-2 that season, but that last game of the season, you went into Philly playing at the Vet, and looky here, looks like the Eagles blew out Washington 24-22 in a blowout. Now, Mark, do you think that kind of tarnishes your ring?
Well, it's always hard to lose. We lost 2 games that season, and obviously when you lose to a division rival, that's tough. Here's the thing, though. We didn't bring our starters. We left our starters at home. So you guys beat our JV team 24-22 essentially what happened.
Here excuses. We go.
There you go, making excuses. It's so
here
sad to
go.
See.
Hey, have you ever heard of Jeff Rutledge? Have you ever heard of Jeff Rutledge?
Yeah, of course we heard of Jeff Rutledge. Legend Jeff Rutledge.
Jeff Rutledge was at that time, you talked about aging players, and he was, I think he was 61. And he started for us in that game. 61 years old.
Age is just a number.
He started quarterback.
You know what, Tony? We can't let you are disrespecting. No. If a team beats you, be a good loser and admit that you lost. We don't let sore losers on this show. Nope. So goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Get him off the phone. Bye, stink. Go shit your pants on another show because you just made a big fucking stink. Yeah, probably pissing his pants. He's so scared right now. Run out
There's
with
no
your tail between your legs.
Fusco Satellite Network.
All right, is he off the line?
What is it with people just so insecure?
You know,
unbelievable.
I think it's because they come on our show. You know, they feel a little intimidated. You know,
he feels intimidated,
and that's what he's got to do. Anyway, again, we're not going to let him ruin the show because we got business to do, Tony. Right. And, you know, this is kind of personal business. We're going to tell you about an exciting opportunity. We've been doing this 4 years in a row now, Tony.
Yep.
It, you know, opportunity for you at home to join us on a 7-day celebrity cruise on Carnival Cruises, where you get to be on a boat with a bunch of big celebrities, including us.
This is a dream vacation for everybody.
For everyone. And you're not going to believe the names we got, you know, including us. We got on this boat. You remember the band Starship from the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
They got the bassist. He's going to be on the ship.
You.
And you remember Hot Tub Time Machine?
The best.
The actor who played ski instructor number 2, he'll be there.
Yep.
We got Peter Scolari from Bosom Buddies, Dr. Drew from Loveline. You like that show?
And of course, who can forget the hit show, Who's the Boss? You all remember Who's the Boss? Well, Jonathan from Who's the Boss is going to be on the cruise.
Best character on the show.
Yes, not even close. And as an added treat, he will also answer to the name Jonathan. So when you get upset and you say, Jonathan, he will be standing at attention for you.
7 days on the high seas, you get everything. You'll get celebrities. You'll get close-up personal time with us.
You feel like you're among the stars.
I think you better go book now, because I think after this, it's going to be really hard to grab a spot, Tony.
It's going to sell out.
Sell out fast. All right, so as we do at the end of every show, it's time for corrections, where we look back, see if there's anything we want to change. And Tony, I got to say, I think we did a bang-up job this week.
Seriously, this was the best show yet. It's another flawless show. Tony, you know, knock on wood.
One mistake.
Wait, what?
What?
Every time you guys keep talking about Tom Brady, he gets another year. You guys said he's 49 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
No.
Look it up.
He's 43.
According to what documents? Have you seen any proof? Look at this guy. Look at how he looked the other day. This guy was looking like he's on his deathbed. And you're saying he's, what, 43 or whatever?
He looks like Blue from Old School. And guess what? He might suffer the same fate as Blue from Old School, too.
Yeah, when Josh Rosen takes over. Now, there's
a young
lead quarterback ready to go. Now, look, we got to go, Tony. We got to get the show right. So, hey, good work today, Tony, as always.
Yeah,
good
too,
research.
Paulie.
Good research on that Schlereth thing. You really
Thank
got
you.
Him.
We took it to him, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Now, we'll be back with more after week 2. So come back for more. Remember to subscribe. We'll see you later. Bye.
See ya.